All right, now pleased to welcome into the program none other than Michigan head coach Juwan Howard. And Juwan, first of all, I gotta come clean here. All right, I gotta come clean and offer you an apology. When you were hired, I lumped you in with every other former NBA player who's gone the college route and said, like, I'm not buying it. I don't know if it's a great hire. And I'm wrong. So I want to first of all acknowledge that, and what a great job you've done so far. And maybe it'll be a new kind of trend, right, of former NBA guys coming into college and being successful. And, you know, I think it was certainly advantageous for you, and you can speak to this, you know, having been out in the AU circuit, watched your son, been kind of not completely immersed in AU basketball, but enough. So it probably wasn't as much of a culture shock to you, the recruiting process, it is to so many guys coming from the NBA.
No, I would say this, man. First, I would really appreciate you taking ownership and apologizing for assuming, because you never know. You never know until you know the individual and the mindset. And so my mindset is, you know, I always love, you know, being around a game of basketball. I enjoy learning, you know, because it's always a new nuances of the game and how it's evolved. And I've always embraced that part of it. And then I also embraced the part of teaching. So when I was a veteran in the NBA, I embraced when the young guys come on a team, whether they're rookies, 1 or 2 year in, I always embraced taking them under my wing and doing whatever I can to help them with their transition. Not saying I knew everything, but in the sense of like being a giver. So when I became, you know, a coach on an assistant coaching level, I embraced learning from Eric Spoelstra and also embraced of when I did not know things, asking questions. And at the same time, always having that growth mindset and seeing how I can grow. And so when I got to college, I embraced everything that came with it. And that's more than just the X's and O's. And so because my kids play AAU, doesn't have anything to do with it. It really doesn't. Because AAU as a parent is totally different from AAU as a coach. And then also as AAU being a college coach. And with that, now being at the University of Michigan, my alma mater, it's a dream job. It's a dream come true. And been fortunate enough to work with some amazing people that's on my staff. And we all collectively has been givers to our student athletes and also being listeners, listening. That is a skill itself.
Yeah, no, like you said, your staff, terrific. They're all different. I mean, that's the beauty of your staff, right? I mean, you've got Phil, who's been doing it a million years as a head coach. You got Howard, who came from the NBA, and you got Saadi, who already knew the Michigan program and has been working in college for so long. So
yeah, and so I slowly took my time in hiring a staff that I felt that's right for the program, that's more importantly, that's the best for, you know, the players, because I always keep our players first, yeah, no matter what. And I see that, you know, when they know that you trust them and you offer them, then, you know, it becomes a better culture and it becomes a fun culture. So
what's been the biggest adjustment for you? Was it staying on the phone all day? And I remember talking to Brad Stevens a ton, and he went the other way, obviously. And he said, listen, the part I don't miss, my phone never rings in the NBA. When I leave practice, that's kind of it. And obviously, you know, now in college, it never stops ringing.
No. And it's always sitting right here as we speak. It's at the dinner table.
Yep.
There are times when I separate myself from my phone because I do have a wife that I love. And yep, she needs me present at times when I am in flesh present. There are times when my mind start to drift, whether it's about practice, whether it's about calling and checking on my players, whether it's what's happening with them academically. Also, you know, I didn't even get to the part of recruiting, you know, calling recruits and calling their parents, their coaches, their workout guy, and just to recruit themselves. But there's a lot that goes along with this phone. So I try to find whether it's a day out of a week or maybe a half a day within 7 days where I don't touch the phone.
The biggest recommendation I can give you in the off season, and you know this already, but because same thing with me, my phone, you know, with me all the time. Wife's giving me the, you know, the glare, the evil glare at times when you know, at the dinner table or whatever. Overseas, the best trips, because at least you got the time change. So at least you can get like, and you can put it away overseas. And I feel like then you're not feeling like you're missing anything, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I love Europe too in this off season, but unfortunately the last 2 years haven't had a chance to travel because of COVID. Yeah.
Soon we'll get back to hopefully normal and we can get to Italy or wherever we want to get to and relax a little bit more. All right, let's get to your team this year. And it's kind of a cool, I don't know, meshing it together, right? I mean, you've got some parts. You lost a ton from last year, but obviously you bring back arguably the best big man in the country, one of them, and Hunter Dickinson. A lot of good bigs in your league, so it's hard to differentiate and separate these dudes. Eli, Brandon, your son, Terrence, you bring back some good players, but there are a lot of like unknowns for us because we couldn't see your freshman class a year and a half ago in person. Neither could you in July a year ago, but they come in highly touted and because of the rankings. And we saw Caleb Houston because obviously he played on the under 19 international team. But there's a lot of question marks for us. Start with them, I guess, and Devontae Jones, obviously, from Coastal. Start with those freshmen. And were there any surprises when you got him in, on campus and you were like, whoa, he's way different? When I saw him on film, you know, he looked 6'4", and he's really 6'6", or he does this better. Were there a lot of surprises because you hadn't seen him in person?
Yeah, the biggest surprise that I got from it was they all are hard workers. And it's never coach-driven. It's never where it's forced. They all come in and get extra work in. And they're some of the best, high-character, hardest-working group that I've ever been around. And I'm not the only one saying it. You know, a guy like Eli Brooks is saying it. You know, he said it publicly. These guys work. And they don't just come in and just, you know, hey, you know, let me punch the clock. I'm here. They're working on their game. And I love the passion that they have behind wanting to learn. I never had any resistance from any of our freshmen when it comes to asking questions, when it comes to when they are being coached. You know, you get eye contact, the ears perk up, and that shows me that this team wants it. And so I embrace it. Our staff embraces it a lot. But there's always surprises when it comes to teaching freshmen, you know. And I remember when I was once a freshman, you know, I made mistakes and there were things that I didn't pick up right away that it took time. And that's the beauty of this team is that, you know, they want to learn, they want to grow, and there are going to be mistakes in practice, but they're embracing learning new habits. And that's the beauty of this group.
Can you give me a quick scouting report on the freshmen, on each of them? Doesn't have to be long. Just kind of quick, you know, can be one sentence, two sentence, whatever you want to go with. Maybe start with Caleb.
Well, you know, smart IQ ball player. The way how he pretty much approached the game, you'd think he'd you know, been around for a very long time on just his whole entire disposition.
Musa.
Fierce competitor.
Who's he like? I've never seen him, Juwan. Like what type of big is he?
I'm shocked you never seen him because he played on the ESPN national schedule with IMG. And, you know, he was just like Caleb. You know, he was out there playing a national schedule. So I'm shocked you never seen Musa. But that's good, though. I hope, you know, like all the teams that we faced throughout the season never seen Musa.
Yeah, some of those high school games, it's hard to watch them if something else is on, or they're on a Friday night. And that's right. Hey, a Friday night during college basketball season is usually take the wife out night. All right.
Smart man. You're a smart man.
Is he a skill big? Is he athletic, long? What he's type?
He's skilled. He's skilled. He's long, athletic. And I can't give you an in-depth scouting report because I'm also sharing it with my opponents too.
All right. I'm not asking for in-depth, remember. I said one, two sentences is good.
Well, I mean, you're going very deep into, you know, I had already said it, but you came back to the question.
All right. That's fair. Kobe Bufkin?
Kobe Bufkin, very skilled, you know, combo guard.
Frankie Collins?
Tough nose, competitor.
And he's a point? He's a point, Juwan.
Yeah.
Yeah, point guard. Okay. Those are four guys all in the top 50. Am I right to say probably the biggest key among the newcomers will be Devontae Jones? I mean, you had so much success last year with a transfer of Mike Smith. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, honestly, I don't know if anybody, maybe including yourself, expected him to be what he was. Devontae Jones from Coastal Carolina averaged about 19 a game last year. How important is he going to be to this team?
Very important. He's going to be the quarterback of our team. The ball is going to be in his hands to make decisions for himself and others. What he's been able to produce in practice and learn and pick up has been, you know, great. But it says a lot about who he is. Always embrace getting film work in. You don't have to, like, you know, just beg him to do it. He enjoys individual film sessions with myself and with other staff members. And the thing that I'm challenging him the most with is being more of a vocal leader.
And he's a guy who can really show he can score. He's very different than Mike Smith, correct?
A lot of ways different than Mike Smith.
Yeah. Size, right? Size, scoring the ball. How good of a facilitator is he? Can you kind of tell yet? Is he more, you know, to score? Is that kind of his mentality? Has it been?
He's a player, man. Yeah. And he knows how to make himself better as well as his teammates.
All right. Go with the returners and Hunter in particular. I've talked to him several times and obviously, you know, he came back not only to get to a Final Four, but certainly to progress his individual game as well. What have you been working on with him most in terms of, you know, his body looks so much better. His confidence, Juwan. Big Ten Media Day, I don't know if I've ever seen that Hunter. And he was fun. He was confident talking. He was smiling all the time. He was loose. So it was really fun to see that side of Hunter that I think a lot of people hadn't seen from our perspective yet.
Well, Hunter is, everything that you saw at Big Ten Media Day, I know here on campus, in practice, in a locker room, in meetings, that's Hunter, but on 10X type Hunter. Like, you know, he can go to another level. But one thing about him is that I've always been impressed with is that his knowledge for the game of basketball. You know, he's a big that, you know, many don't have no idea how, you know, his IQ is next level. If he ever wanted to be a coach, he could be a really good coach because he loves the game of basketball. He sees it like a guard. He also is able to, well, let's start with high school where he's been coached.
Yeah.
And he's embraced it. And that's the part that, you know, a lot of us could be coached, but would you embrace, you know, allowing someone to coach you? And that's where Hunter has been, like, not only just, you know, at the Mather, but also here at University of Michigan. So, you know, by Hunter going through that process last year and now seeing where he, you know, hearing all the information that he wanted to hear from a lot of NBA team scouts, executives, he wanted to come back and enjoy the college experience and see how he will improve the next year. And so we're happy to have him back. We needed his leadership. His teammates are excited to see him in a locker room. because he's also one of the most bubbliest personalities there is.
How much do you worry about guys like him? And you've been on the other side of it in the NBA, coming back and trying to do all the things that the NBA guys told them they can't do, rather than sometimes, again, taking some of those things, but still embracing, hey, listen, what you're really good at, stick with that. That's what's going to get you, hopefully, to the league and expanding, yes, but don't get too carried away with what the NBA guys are telling you can't do.
Well, Hunter, we trust, and I trust Hunter in a lot of ways because of, you know, who and what he represents. You know, he comes from a pure place, and he's also not a selfish individual. He's always put team first, and that's why I'm not surprised with how he's approached the game and how his development is now just getting better and better and better. So with this year, you know, I'm not concerned. I'm not worried with, you know, if Hunter's going to come in and try to take away from what's best for the team and focus on just the what's best for me. And he doesn't have a selfish bone in his body.
No, he's a good kid. Really, really like Hunter. What's the key for this team, Juwan? Like if there was something, and I know like every coach is chemistry, health, right? Those are like two clear-cut, consistent ones for pretty much every coach. But is there something that you worry about right now going into the season? You know, whether it's whatever it is, whether it's moving the ball, whether it's perimeter shooting, I'm just throwing things out there. Is there something that you're concerned about that you're curious to see when the season begins?
Well, as a coach, you know, and I'm sure I speak for all coaches, you know, before you lay your head down on the pillow, you know, you always are concerned about something, and that never stops. And then you wake up in the middle of the night where you're concerned and your mind is wondering and you're seeing how you can improve. They're all facets of the game where I see that we could get better with. And we're not there, nor do I expect for us to be, because it's early. We haven't played anyone. When we have our first game this season, which is going to be a very competitive one versus Buffalo, then we'll get an opportunity to see where areas we need to improve on.
Yeah, Buffalo, the favorite, I think, in the MAC this year. So I like that one. Last question for you before I let you go. This whole G League Overtime Elite thing. Just interested to get your thoughts. I mean, again, G League's only taking 5 or 6 guys every year. Overtime Elite, they're already at like 30 guys this year, and there's a lot of question marks with Overtime Elite that there aren't with the G League. You know, for me, a big question I have is a lot of these kids are making decisions as like juniors in high school to go to Overtime Elite, and they're offering a lot of money, but are they completely educated on what they're doing? That's always my big question at that age. Do you worry about them, you know, affecting college basketball and the decisions being made for some of these young kids?
Well, first, I don't know much about it, and nor do have I, you know, did my homework and digging so deep to learn, you know, all, you know, the backstories and what the OTE is all about and what's their initiative and main goal and end goal. I come from the old school where I just focus on me and I focus on our team in Michigan and seeing how, you know, what we need to improve and be concerned with the guys that are in the locker room, the 17 that I have. All the other outside stuff, whether it's other teams, whether it's other leagues, I don't focus on that. I don't, you know, at all. But I do care about a lot of our youth that are out there, and I'm praying to God that they get the right advice that's best for their future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my big thing. You know, my big thing is just as long as they're making decisions and they're informed, right, and educated on the decisions they're making and their parents are educated on those decisions, then you know what? All the power to them to have more options. I mean, it's great. They got more options. I love that. As long as, you know, again, they're properly, they got the resources to make the right decisions. So listen, appreciate it, Juwan. Like I said, I'm glad I was wrong. Keep proving me wrong. Although now I'm on board, my man. I'm on board fully. And I love the passion that you have for your alma mater and for coaching kids. And I've talked to Udonis, I've talked to Spo about you, and that'll show me. I'll do my due diligence a little bit more before making that kind of overall decision with everybody who comes from the NBA, because, you know, Damon Stoudemire did a good job at Pacific. You've done a good job. There have been some, but again, I think there also have been more on the other end. So thanks, Juwan. Appreciate it, man. I'll see you soon.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me, man. Stay safe out there.
You too. Take care. All right, that was Michigan head coach Juwan Howard. And now, why not keep it in the family, right? A couple more former Michigan Wolverines. We got Stu Douglas. We got Ant Wright to break down, I guess, this year's Michigan team as much as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be easy with all the new faces. But first, can I start with the Juwan Howard? And I need to start with the apology. I know I've done it before. I don't know if I've done it on video before. When he was hired, like I do with every former NBA player coach with $100 million in their bank account, I'm skeptical. And honestly, the track record shows that usually I'm right. But so far, I couldn't have been more off base with Juwan Howard. He's been awesome, Stu. And I think he's surprised all of us to some extent. Has he not?
A little bit. But I think, to your point, like, there's no in between. I think it's either the success or the failure, but like, psychologically, he's got that money in the bank. He knows he's respected. Like, he's not trying to go out. I mean, yeah, he's trying to prove himself, but, you know, he's not starting from scratch. So he can just go out and be himself. He knows he can be himself. He knows how to coach guys. Like, you know, sometimes when you try so hard, you can screw everything up. And like, a guy like Juwan, who's confident in himself, that helps from the beginning.
And I mean, he blows me away now. Like, other than Penny Hardaway, I don't know of too many other coaches that I would rather play for than Juwan Howard, only because Penny is even cooler to me. Like, Penny's like the coolest head coach, period, in college basketball. I don't know if anybody can argue that, but Juwan's pretty damn close. I mean, again, he worked. Like, that's the one thing when you talk to anybody who he played with or coached with at the NBA level, they'll tell you, like, the difference why he's successful is because he works. He works so hard and he connects with players.
I think so. On top of that, I think he took ownership in his career. Like, he's one of the rare guys who have been the number one. You know, he signs that huge contract with the now Wizards, was the Bullets, right? He was at one time the $100 million guy, but then he was just a mid-starter. Then he was the end starter. Then he becomes in the 8-man rotation. Then he's that 10-11. Then he becomes that 13, 14, 15, more that veteran kind of coaches, players presence. Then he goes into the staff part. The fact that he took ownership along the way as each person identifying and understanding players' needs and what they need to hear in certain times, really speaks volume to the, you know, him just understanding things when nobody else really understands why. I'll give you one example, man. Michigan was playing Michigan State at Michigan this year, and this was the game that sealed their Big Ten championship. Towards the end of the game, he pulls Terrence Williams aside, right, and says something to him. Terrence Williams goes back. Howard then puts in guys who would not play in front of Terrence Williams. Something little like that, you knew what he said. Hey, you're going to have this opportunity again, and I'm not going to disrespect you and your talent by putting you in now. There are some guys who will never get this opportunity to be on the floor to clinch a Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
Something little like that goes a very long way.
All right, so let's get on to this year's team a little bit. And, you know, the known quantity, Hunter Dickinson. We know what he's going to do for the most part, unless their point guard situation is far worse than we think it'll be. But Hunter Dickinson's going to be one of the best big men, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. You know, they've obviously got some other people. They lost a lot. I mean, that's the part that we're forgetting about here.
Yeah.
When we talk about this Michigan team and see them highly ranked, largely because of Hunter Dickinson and a crop of freshmen that were highly ranked. And what worries me, guys, is, and again, I know some of these freshmen, Caleb Houston, we've seen him a little bit in the under-19s. We know how good he's going to be. But what worries me is a lot of this freshman class, we've never seen, you know, like junior year, we weren't out in the circuit. Coaches weren't out in the circuit. We're dependent on people ranking these kids. And that worries me a little bit. Again, I'm not saying this isn't a talented freshman class, but I'm saying nationally, I worry about the freshmen overall being as good as, you know, people think they're going to be. At the end of the day, are you worried about that at all, Stu?
No, I guess in the beginning, like everyone's going to be expecting the same start of the season they had last year, finish off where they ended last year. This is probably not going to happen. It's possible, but there's going to be a lot more moving parts and there's a lot more depth there that they have to work with. You know, you don't even have like a Sean D coming off the bench quite like that, where, you know, you couldn't tell Sean D anything. Sean D was going to do Sean D. Like, there's so many guys that have to figure out what they want to do. It's going to, like, fans need to be patient. And Juwan, they have sort of that formula to have that patience. Like, they saw it last year where things will develop, even though they start out hot. But, yeah, it's going to take a lot more time. You just so many question marks. You know, guys could go from 20 minutes a game down to 8 minutes a game, back to 20 minutes. Like, there's so many young guys and so many question marks there that – it could be a whole season thing compared to last year. So I think it's going to be a lot different than people expect.
And are you concerned at all? Or I mean, I'm kind of with Stu here, like out of the gates, they're probably going to struggle a little bit because they are so young at so many different spots where other teams around the country, a lot of them are older. They might not be, they might not have the same group coming back as a year ago. You know, you look at like a Texas, right? They have six transfers, but they're older. You know, Marcus Carr, like all these dudes are older. So while they've got to find their chemistry, it's not like they're throwing out a bunch of guys that are adjusting to the speed of the game and those types of things. They've already played at a high enough level. With Michigan, you got all these freshmen. And oh, by the way, your point guard, I know it worked with Mike Smith, but he is a guy who's going up probably not a level, but 11 and a half or two levels.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Jones, I mean, he's put up numbers against some high major opponents. That's one thing. Two, having an older backcourt is going to help a lot because now your point of attack on both ends, you're going to be solid. You know, Eli Brooks, Devontae Jones. Devontae Jones was, I believe, third in the country in steals last year. Eli Brooks, very good defender. Talking with guys like C.J. Baird, he was saying how smart Eli was, especially on the defensive end, the end where a lot of freshmen, it takes them a while to really adjust. So you have Eli Brooks, Devontae Jones at the head of the snake on both ends. That's going to help out guys like Caleb Houston. You do have a front court returning. You know, one is going to be, was an All-American consensus last year. The other one's going to be Brandon Johns. When he took over for Isaiah Livers, he did a very good job. So I think it's going to be, you know, those guys have also been successful in college, which also helps. So the freshmen kind of know where to take the leadership from.
Yeah, I think the key to this team, I mean, again, we can point to the freshman maturing, but it's always point guard play, isn't it? I mean, especially with a kid like Devontae Jones, who we haven't seen enough of. I like him, I've seen of him. I like him a lot. He was great at Coastal. But again, you just want to see him. Mike Smith was just so damn good, and he fit exactly what they needed last year. And I never thought I'd say that, but he was the ideal guy. And coming from the Ivy League, I was obviously concerned, and I think most people would be, because again, when I did a study, was it last summer, if you look at all the guys who transferred up a level, like clearly up a level, you can cut their numbers in half of what they did. And, you know, if you do that, yeah, you're getting a solid point guard, but you're not going to get what Mike Smith was ultimately. And I think Devontae Jones needs to be more than a cut your numbers in half guy for Michigan to be a team that could, you know, contend for the Big Ten, you know, title and maybe make some noise in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Mike was also like 5'9", like 160.
Yeah.
Devontae is 6'1 with like a 6'6 wingspan. I think physically he's going to be able to adjust a little bit better than Mike did, in my opinion.
Yeah, that blueprint is there. And like everyone worried about Mike being too aggressive at the beginning of the season, was begging him to be more aggressive at the end. And so there's a little bit of a blueprint there for Devontae to be like, okay, there's a middle ground somewhere and I can't be aggressive to start. And I have the ball in my hands. Like that is what this offense is. And talking to Hunter, and he's like, yeah, like one of the biggest keys for him was getting that chemistry with Devontae right off the bat, that 1-5 chemistry. And that'll be something they'll be going. I mean, you saw Hunter last year running the floor as a freshman, dictating where guys to go, calling out ball screens in transition, soft transition. Like there'll be even more of that this year.
All right. Break down what Hunter needs to do. I think we can all agree on it, but let's hear what Hunter has to do to take that next step. And I think it starts with, honestly, not getting out of your comfort zone too much. You guys can talk on the court what it is a little bit. I would say up here, that's very important to me, is Hunter, stay about team. Don't go out there jacking threes. You're doing something more. Your team is still going to need you in the post, rebounding and being a physical presence, and run the court hard.
Yeah, and you want to take it?
Sure. Left shoulder. Find it. Find a left shoulder. It is amazing how many times teams would high side his right shoulder and Hunter would still turn into it. And sometimes he'd make it, sometimes he wouldn't. But, you know, find a way to get back to your left shoulder. And you don't even need to finish it with your right hand. Just go left shoulder and finish with two, whether it's a dunk or whether it's off the glass. Just have a counter for the left hook, because it was deadly all year long and teams sat on it. And that's why, you know, UCLA locked them up in the last few minutes, is because they really high sided that right shoulder, forcing him to go the other way. If you go the other way two or three times a game, that just opens up everything else for you.
Yeah. In that sort of same vein, getting trapped and double teamed, like, he'll be way more comfortable and being able to find it and turn over to your left shoulder to find guys, you know, don't get stuck in one position. But for him, it'll be taking what teams throw at him, double, triple teams, all those sorts of help side, dig downs, like whatever it is, like he's got to be able to be the focal point of the offense in a lot of possessions when, you know, there was a lot of times last year where, you know, all the talent they had and they're looking around and seeing who wants to shoot, who wants to take the ball. And Hunter needs to be that guy, especially early on with all the freshmen, like give it to me now. And like, let me work and find guys and vice versa. The other side is that the guys have to work with Hunter and cut. And that was a big thing last year. They didn't move super well without the ball a lot of times. And they got stagnant and just kind of looked at him on the perimeter. And Eli was the best at it, but they all four of the rest of the guys have to be better at it. So it's kind of working in unison, just kind of figuring that out as you go. I think it'll be maybe a little slow go at the beginning, but you know, I'm scared for other teams with the confidence he has going into his second season.
Yeah, he's got it. I mean, the biggest thing I saw, it's funny, at Big Ten Media Day, I've never seen him so comfortable with himself. Like
that's huge.
He's always been a little bit like, I don't want to say like just not confident with interviews. He stole the whole Big Ten Media Day show. I mean, he's talking shit about fan bases, you know, promoting his brand, whatever the hell it is there. I mean, he's just running it. And I was loving it. I'm a big Hunter fan. It's funny. And I've mentioned this to him. The first time I ever saw Hunter, I think, was he beat the hell out of James Wiseman, I believe, at the Peach Jam. And he outplayed him. He just out-toughed him. He beat him down the court. It was really impressive. So back then, I honestly, when they got Hunter, I remember saying to myself, when Isaiah Todd decided not to go to Michigan, who cares? It was a loss for Isaiah Todd, not Michigan. That's how I looked at it immediately. And I think it really was. I think Isaiah Todd, if he had come to Michigan for a year, would have been a lottery pick or close to it. Instead, what is, you know, 31, whatever he was at the end of the day. All right, Caleb Houston. He's the one guy I've seen. I don't know how much you guys have seen of him at all in that under-19 tournament, and I assume you did. Sure. What were your thoughts on Caleb Houston?
I love Caleb Houston, man. The one thing about him is that when he played with Mont Bird, he was very comfortable in his role. Why? Because he played with a lot of really freaking good players. So he kind of took a step back. But when you see him on FIBA playing for Team Canada, he took that step forward to be more assertive, more of a leader, high IQ, positional defender, all of 6'8", really good shooter. I liken him to Shane Battier quite a bit. I like his game. I like his game a lot. He is one of those rare five stars where he's not ranked that high because he's just this athlete, because he's not. Yeah. And the fact that he's that high after he reclassed up just shows you, you know, how much potential he has.
All right. So, Stu, Purdue, Illinois, Michigan, Stu. You know, that's kind of the top tier of the Big Ten, or what many people feel is the top tier. You know, Purdue's got everybody back. Illinois's got, you know, arguably as good a point guard big man duo as there is in the country, and they're both experienced. Michigan, do they belong with those guys? Is that fair to do to Juwan Howard's team right out of the gates here?
I think so. Talent-wise, it's fair. It is far too early to be predicting these things, but talent-wise, it's there. And I think that's what we saw last year with the Michigan team, and you kind of assume – that the Juwan team will figure it out. So yeah, it's fair. Usually I'm not that type of guy, but I'm a little biased, obviously, and I feel confident in Juwan and you know, the returning guys. So yeah, I think it'll be like that pretty much all year.
And we'll close with you on the expectations for this team. I mean, this program's been good for a long time now. Beeline and passing the baton to Juwan, and you know, he inherited some good players and he's kept it rolling. Can Michigan be in that top tier and be a team that, again, we're talking about when the NCAA tournament starts as a real threat?
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to the Big Ten this year, I think there's seven teams that can really contend for a Big Ten title. Ohio State losing Washington Junior hurts, but they still got studs back and they did replace him with dude from, I believe, Louisiana, who's pretty freaking good. So when it comes down to it, Purdue and Ohio State, they have, in my opinion, two of the softer schedules when it comes to Big Ten play. Of the top seven teams, they play like three of the teams twice.
Yeah.
Michigan and Illinois play four of the teams twice. So those are two games where these two teams get to play Nebraska and Minnesota. These other two teams have to play Michigan State, Indiana, or Purdue, Illinois, and that matters. But the big thing this year is going to come down to chemistry. me and Stu, or Stu and I, want to be correct. You know, we were on the team where in 08, 09, you know, we were starting, you know, earlier in the season. We beat UCLA. Everybody's good. We go to the tournament, lose to Blake Griffin. First time in the tourney in a long time. That following season, we're ranked 15th, probably the highest that they've been ranked in a while. And talent-wise, we were way, way better. I mean, we had Darius Morris. We had a whole bunch of cats coming back in. But Stu would know, like, chemistry was doo-doo. Chemistry was not good, and it started, like, in the summer and the fall. Just chemistry was bad. Guys were injured with their hamstrings. It just started and ended really, really bad and terribly. I don't really see that happening with this team, mainly because I want to put a lot of onus on Eli Brooks. And I think he's so smart and such a good leader. I think losing CJ Lee for us too in 09 and 010, like 010, 2010, I think that was a huge loss. Even though he didn't really stack up points and assist and boards, I think his leadership and just his presence really kept us together. Him and like Dave Merritt and those guys, even like Javon, right? Those guys are so mature. I think that this team will be okay because of the leadership that they have. And it should be a good year. Hunter's coming back. Brandon Johnson's back. Good freshman team. And an old backcourt who will be able to keep them there and possibly contend for a Final Four.
All right, there you have it. Breaking down the Michigan Wolverines, two of their own. Ant Wright, Stu Douglas, thanks for joining me, guys. And make sure you follow the Field of 68 for all your preseason content. We got the rundown every single day, top 50 countdown, and see you soon.